We're in a series at the moment, Living with 5G, and we were so thankful last week for Pastor Ryan kicking us off talking about God's goodness. And this week, I'll be looking at gratitude. And in this series, we're just looking at different attributes, different ways in which we can connect and deepen and strengthen our relationship with God. So this week, I'll be looking at gratitude. But before I start unpacking gratitude, I just want to ask and paint this picture. Have you guys ever found yourself wanting more stuff? Or finding that you don't have enough stuff, you just want more things? Even though you already have lots of stuff, and you know, as a society, we love consuming things. I mean, most houses, if you drive through the street, have a two-car garage. Yet if you go for a drive in the street, how many houses have the cars parked in the driveway on the street? It's because our garages are full of stuff. We love buying stuff. We love filling our lives with stuff. And our consumeristic society tells us, buy more and you'll feel better. But we buy something, we get that thing. You know, I've done a lot of online shopping with Amazon, and I get a thing and I'm super excited and I love it for 2 days, and then I'm back on Amazon and I need to buy something else because I'm just not filled. I'm just not satisfied. You know, I have this real bad habit with book buying. I'll start reading a book, and then this book mentions another book, and I'll go buy that book even though I haven't finished that book. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And we just love to consume, and we have all this stuff and all this technological advances, but despite all of our advances, we're not any happier. Consumerism isn't helping us. Or maybe you're not consuming, but maybe you just find yourself complaining a lot. Or maybe you're not the complainer, but you know someone who is a complainer. You know, they go to the fridge and they find that there's nothing to eat despite the fact that the fridge is full. Or they're on Netflix looking for a show and there's no show to watch, even though there's hundreds of shows on Netflix. Or the weather is too hot, the weather is too cold. Maybe you're complaining about this pandemic. Why did we have to stay at home for so long? Now that we can go out, why is everyone at the shops? You know, we love to find things to complain about, to try and justify ourselves. And yes, we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. But I want to say that there's a new pandemic in town. And it's the pandemic of consuming and the pandemic of complaining. But luckily, there's a cure for us. There's a way that we can flatten the curve as Christians. And as Christians, we're called to be countercultural. And I believe the way we can flatten this curve is through a little practice called gratitude. And so I want to unpack gratitude today. And simply, gratitude can be defined as a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. As a result, gratitude also helps people connect to something larger than themselves, as individuals, whether to other people, nature, or a higher power. Simply, gratitude is being thankful for the things that we have, whether they be physical things or non-physical things, like tangible or intangible. And, you know, this definition here is a secular definition, and it talked about it helps us connect to a higher power. Well, as Christians, gratitude reframes and puts things into perspective. And it helps us acknowledge the goodness that God is providing each and every day in our lives. Are we aware and thankful for what God is doing each and every day? Are we thankful for just being alive, for having, you know, air to breathe, for having food to eat? Can we find God in the simple things each and every day? And, you know, the benefits to gratitude are enormous. I found a few articles. This one here said, people who practice gratitude regularly by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things they're thankful for experience more positive emotions, feel more alive, sleep better, express more compassion and kindness, and even have stronger immune systems. And gratitude doesn't have to be reserved only for momentous occasions. Sure, you might express gratitude after receiving a promotion at work, but you can be thankful for something as simple as eating delicious pie, and that will increase your mood and give you health benefits. How cool is that? But, you know, this is not only something we find in psychology and in these magazines and on the web, but Scripture talks about the benefits of gratitude. And gratitude is something that is deeply biblical, and we see it all throughout Scripture. See, for example, in Proverbs 15, verse 13, it says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. A glad heart makes a cheerful face. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. See, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. Doesn't that sound good? So you don't need Botox. You don't need anti-aging cream. You don't need a miracle drug. All you need is a little bit of gratitude, a little bit of appreciation and finding what you're thankful for. Another article I found five health benefits positively associated with gratitude. It says gratitude eliminates toxic emotions. Gratitude reduces pain, improves sleep quality. Gratitude aids stress regulation, and gratitude reduces anxiety and depression. Man, gratitude itself sounds like a miracle drug, but guess what? It has no side effects. And you know, I'm harping on about gratitude and how good it is, but I want to just share, like, I've seen the benefits of gratitude myself. And I was meant to bring this notebook with me this morning. However, I left it at home. But I looked through it throughout the week. And in this notebook that I have, I just write how each day went. And I made it a regular practice to find things I was thankful for, even when times were good and times were bad. Gratitude helped me to reframe and to see God each and every day. And I remember writing, I jotted down a few things. In 2016 was when I first moved to college. And I was grateful that I got to college safely, that I had a good dorm room, that I had some good mates, and I was going to develop some good friendships. Or I remember writing later that year that I had a really good conversation with someone called Alex. I don't even remember Alex, but at the time I had a friend called Alex, and apparently I had a really good conversation with him. Or in 2017, I worked as a barista, and one day I made a really good coffee for Caitlin, and she said it was the best one she ever had. And I just found these simple things to be grateful for. Or I remember a time towards the end of 2018 where life wasn't as good for me. There were a few relationship breakdowns that happened at college. There were a few issues I was experiencing. At my workplace, I worked as a chaplain, and I remember a family, they had unexpectedly lost their dad, and there was just a lot going on emotionally, and it was a tough time. But I still made it a practice to find things to be grateful for, even though it was hard, and even though it was tough, and even though I didn't want to, and I didn't see God during that time. But I remember writing here at the start of November, I jotted down that the boys came and chatted with me. They just sat and chatted with me today. And that spoke volumes. And see, each and every day, I made it a regular practice just to write, even if it was just one thing I was grateful for. See, gratitude is a way out of the pit of despair. And maybe today you find yourself in a bit of a pit. Some anxiety, some negativity, some complaining, some bitterness. Maybe you always find yourself consuming to fill those holes. Gratitude becomes an antidote to all of this. Gratitude is a gateway to peace. Gratitude helps reframe things and helps us to see God each and every day in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so today I just want to share some thoughts from Philippians chapter 4. I believe this is such a powerful and such a beautiful passage. And I'm going to be reading from verses 4 through to 8, and I'm just going to be reading them verse by verse and unpacking a few things that I've observed from this text. And so I just want to share again the context of this. Paul, this is one of his most encouraging letters, yet he wrote this from one of his hardest and toughest times, that he was in the middle of prison. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. He was facing a lot of uncertainty. He didn't know the future that he faced. He had every reason to be anxious. He had every reason to complain. He had every reason to be upset and mad with God. Yet in this situation, he pens these words, starting in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And right there, we see a little bit of repetition. Have you ever had a friend or a family member repeat something to you twice? I know with my dog, I have to always repeat commands to him because I want to let him know that this is important. Samson, sit. Samson, sit. And maybe I have to do it more than twice. But Paul here is, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So he's letting us know how important this is, the fact that he's repeating it. And the Greek word for rejoice is kairo, which means to be glad, which makes sense in this context. But when we dig a little bit deeper, there's a beautiful meaning that we get out. The root word for kairo comes directly from the word kairos. And kairos in Greek means grace, which means God's unmerited favor. In other words, getting something you don't deserve. And so you're starting to see this word picture here, that it wasn't his circumstance that was dictating his rejoicing. See, Paul was rejoicing because he knew a deeper truth, an understanding that he'd experienced God's grace, and that caused rejoicing. And so he didn't base his faith on the situation he was in. And I don't want us to be situational Christians. I don't want us to base our faith off whether we're having a good time or a bad time. See, I don't want my circumstance to dictate my faith. Rather, I want my faith to dictate my circumstance. I'm not going to let a negative time, you know, impact how I understand and how I view God. Don't let your attitude and your outlook be dependent on what you're experiencing right now. See, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And you need to notice something there. It's not saying give thanks for the circumstance. So it's not like Paul is saying, "God, I thank you so much for putting me in prison. This is amazing." No, it's finding ways to be thankful in the circumstance. Paul was able, although it wasn't a good time, he was still able to rejoice and find ways to be thankful and praise God. So not for all circumstances, but how can we be thankful in all circumstances? It's all about the perspective you're carrying. Coming back to Philippians, rejoice, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I tell you, rejoice. And let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." So Paul's saying that, although I'm in the middle of this, although it may seem like God is absent, God is here, he's working, he is with me, he's not far away. Although I'm in prison, he's at hand, he's working. And right now, during this season, God is at hand. He's with us. He's by our side. Do we acknowledge it? Continuing on, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about anything." Now, that's a tough one. Don't be anxious about anything. But Paul, there is so much to be anxious about. There is so much worry. There is so much negativity. There are so much stresses in our life. Don't be anxious about anything, he writes. And that word, anxious, in the Greek, yes, it means concerned or worried. But I love the picture it paints. It means don't be pulled apart in many different directions. Don't you ever feel pulled apart when anxiety hits, when worry hits, when fear hits? All these things just seem to pull us in many different directions. It can start to pull us apart, you know. We start stressing about our job, and you can start worrying about your health and your finances and what's going on at home. And all these things just seem to be pulling us in many different directions. And this is where anxiety and anxiousness comes in. And Paul says, don't be pulled apart. Don't be anxious about anything, he says, but in everything. And this is a concept Paul talks about many times in Scripture. And he says, listen, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that word thanksgiving, in the Greek, it's this word eucharista. And right in the middle of that word eucharista, we see that Greek word for grace come up again. Charis, it's right in the middle of this word. We see that word grace, that idea of God's unmerited favor. And do you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that you can rejoice and do it again with thanksgiving because God's grace is at hand. See, these things, these emotions, these attitudes stem from a much deeper place than circumstance. It's much deeper than just having stuff. It's from a heart of gratitude, understanding what you've been saved from. See, Paul is saying, hey, listen, yeah, I'm in prison. I get it. I'm locked up. But you know what? My circumstance doesn't dictate my ability to rejoice and be thankful and to find things to be grateful for. And today I want to submit to us, it's not just being out of quarantine or being out of fear and worry and anxiety. No, it's something much deeper than that. It's being saved from the bonds of sin that has held us back, receiving God's grace when we didn't even deserve it. God's grace, his charis. And in that, we find the ability to rejoice. We find the things to be thankful for, that each and every day God's grace is at hand, and I can be thankful for that, and I can rejoice in that. And then he continues in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, doesn't that sound so good? And I love the picture of peace that is painted in this verse here. And I talked about how anxiety pulls us apart in many different directions. Well, this idea of peace, this word arene, it means the exact opposite. It means to be made whole, to be complete. And so when we have God's peace, we're complete. And I'm going to illustrate it to you with just a little illustration here. So we're going to see if the camera guys can follow along with me. But, you know, we picture it like this. So we have our life here. This is our life. And here's our many different worries. You know, maybe we're worrying about, I don't know, health. We're worrying about our finances. We're worrying about our family. We're worrying about what's going on at home. We're worrying about our friends. We're worrying about what we look like. We're wondering and worrying about what God thinks about us. And there's all these worries and anxiety. Look, it's hard to balance. All these balls are traveling in a different direction. And I start to be feeling pulled apart in many different directions. I can sort of balance it, but... And that's exactly what I didn't want to happen. Anxiety seems to get the best of us. It seems to pull us apart in many different directions. Yet when we have God's peace, we can be made whole. And all our worries find themselves placed inside of Christ. And see, those tennis balls, it was hard to balance and walk around with, and I took two steps and it fell apart. But when my worries and find themselves within Christ, it becomes much easier to carry. I'm made whole. And see, I can walk across the stage with this ball. I'm not going to drop it. I'm not fearful. I'm not worried. I'm not pulled apart in many different directions. Paul writes to us, don't be anxious. Don't be pulled apart in many different directions. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And your worries will be placed within Him. And we won't be pulled apart in many different directions. Don't be anxious. Don't be pulled apart. Find God's grace. Find God's peace. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God and His peace, which transcends all understanding. Because His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And guard your heart in Christ Jesus. I can illustrate it another way. I don't know if you've seen a cheesy bumper sticker before. Maybe you've seen it online. But it says, no Jesus, as in N-O, Jesus, no peace. But no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. And I should have been more prepared and put it on the screen so you can see it. But it's a bit cheesy, but it illustrates the point as well. Know Jesus, when you really know Him, you can know peace. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And how do I get this peace? Well, it goes back to gratitude. Because gratitude, like I said earlier, gratitude is a gateway to peace. And where does gratitude come from? An understanding that you receive something you didn't deserve. God's grace, His unmerited favor. And when you understand that, you start to operate from a place of peace. And Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 6, He writes, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings up evil things stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So I want to ask, what's stored up in your heart? Is it good things or is it bad things? What is stored up in your heart? What is overflowing out of your heart? Is it full of gratitude? Is your mouth speaking things to be thankful for? Or is it finding negative things? Is it finding things to complain about? Because whatever your heart is full of, whatever the inside, whatever's stemming up in there, it's going to flow and it's going to come out of your mouth. So fill your heart with gratitude. Find things to be thankful for. Let that flow out of your life. Let that flow out of your heart and it's going to squash the negativity. Gratitude is the gateway to peace. Fill your heart with gratitude. Coming to a close, Paul writes in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things. Why? Because what we think about, what we begin to speak, it begins to transform our heart. It begins to transform us from the inside out. And out of the overflow of our heart is what our mouth begins to speak. So what's being stored up on the inside? I'm going to do one final illustration here to try and illustrate this point a bit more. And so Scripture says, guard your heart. And so we have this glass here, full of some water, and so this can represent our life. And when Scripture talks about heart, it's not meaning that organ that pumps blood. It's something much deeper and something much bigger than that. Scripture is where your thoughts, the heart is where your thoughts stem from, where your actions, where your desires. It's the totality of your being. Everything stems from your heart in biblical thought. And so Scripture tells us to guard this. And so imagine this is us. Maybe this is us in 2019. Life is pretty good. Maybe it's the start of 2020. Life is pretty good. But then you know what? This pandemic hits. Worry hits. Fear hits. Anxiety hits. We find things to complain about. We find things to worry about, and we feel pulled apart in many different directions. What about this? What about that? I'm worried about the future. I'm worried how it's going to turn out. I'm not sure what's happening at my job. I'm not sure what's happening at home. I'm not sure what's happening in my relationship. And there's so many things that can pull us apart. So many things we can be worried about. And we, like I said, we can be pulled apart in many different directions. And there's fear, there's worry, there's depression, there's anxiety. All these things just seem to be crippling us and getting the best of us. And Jesus says, there's a better way. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, there's a cure for all of this. For consuming, for complaining, for fear, for worry. There's a cure for all of this. And Paul writes, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is just, think about those things. And see, maybe you think gratitude is great and you want to start writing things to be thankful for. And you're going to start today, and then you're going to get to Wednesday, and you're only going to look like this. You're still overflowing with the bad stuff. Well, you know what? You need to keep going, because it's a grind, day in, day out. I've been finding things to be thankful for since 2016, but you've got to go in, day out. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is good, whatever is excellent, whatever is pure, Paul writes, think about such things. Find those things to think about. Find those things to be grateful for. And keep going day in and day out. And then your heart begins to overflow with this goodness. Still not quite clear yet. So we'll keep going. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is good. Think about such things. And look. Now good stuff is overflowing from my life. Good things are overflowing from my heart. See, whatever the heart is full of, I begin to speak. And so I want to encourage you today, practice gratitude. Find the things to be thankful for. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will come into your life. Present those requests. Present those worries to God. And let that begin to fill your life. And see, the enemy wants to try and take captive those negative thoughts, those negative emotions, and try and overwhelm us with that. Yet we need to think about whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is excellent. We need to fill our lives with gratitude and allow gratitude to overflow from our heart. And then in the good, the bad, and the ugly, we'll begin to find God's peace. In the middle of negativity, God's peace will overwhelm you and overflow from you. And gratitude will put things back into perspective and allow us to reframe everything. And in the middle of trials, in the middle of storms, in the middle of negativity, we can find God and find His peace. So let's practice gratitude day in and day out. And so I want to encourage you, maybe open a notebook, maybe open the notes app in your phone, and jot down a few things you can be thankful for. See, studies show that keeping a gratitude journal, regularly writing brief reflections on moments for which we're thankful, can significantly increase well-being and satisfaction. And one of the best ways is to find new things you're grateful for every day. Don't just write every day, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful. Yes, we can be thankful for our family. But why are you thankful for our family? See, it writes here, simply putting things like, today my husband gave me a shoulder rub when he knew I was really stressed. Or my sister invited me over for dinner so I didn't have to cook after a long day. When you find these new things, it keeps it fresh and it keeps you going for it. So find things to be grateful for every day. Find God in the everyday. Because the regular practice of gratitude is a means by which we become rightly orientated towards God. Only when we become truly grateful for what God has done, when thankfulness has seeped into the marrow of the soul, we can fully appreciate who God is and what he's doing for us. And so, church, let me just pray over you this afternoon. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this day. I want to thank you for church and the fact that we can still connect and meet online. I want to thank you for this community and each and every person. And I know there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of things that can pull us apart in many different directions. But your peace transcends all understanding, and you make us whole. And so I pray that each and every member of our church can find things to be thankful for. They can remember your grace each and every day and how good that is. And so I pray for goodness in our lives. I pray for eyes to see how you are working each and every day in the good, the bad, and the ugly. I pray that you continue to move us forward. I thank you for everything you've done in this church and everything you're going to keep on doing. May we keep our eyes fixated and focused on you. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.